This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
Guys, I don't know if you know this, but there are many psychological studies that have been done on this issue of gratefulness or thankfulness. I read a recent study by a guy named Robert Emmons. He's a doctor of psychology who goes to the University of California, who teaches there. He had a whole other experiment. You know, you set up three groups of people, and one of them you tell, I want you to focus this week on all the bad things that are happening. Just, you know, recount. One people who are kind of neutral, just think about everything. And then one group that just centers on the things that they can be grateful for and actually recount those things. And of course, it's not rocket science here. At the end of that week, at the end of the experiment, what do they figure out? That people who focus on gratitude were happier. Not only were they happier, but they had fewer negative physical symptoms like colds and flus and all those things. Basically, if you're grateful, they were saying, you simply enjoy a higher quality of life. So a grateful person is a person with a thankful heart. And what we're going to find out during this time today is this: thankful heart equals a better life. That's the way the scriptures talk about it. And yet all of us know how difficult gratefulness really is. Have a thankful heart, especially over these last 3 years, right? Since 2008, when our country went into it's one of the most difficult times really we've had as a country. When unemployment is at 9% for 3 years, that's unprecedented. And so the various things that happen to us, like, oh no, the car's, you know, going south. Oh no, you know, a job is lost, or family relationships are in crisis somehow. All of those things, the setbacks that we deal with, or you look ahead in your life and you see some long slog that you have to go through, something that's not changing. And it all feels very discouraging. And yet, I want to say again, a thankful heart equals a better life. And long before any psychologist told us that, the scriptures told us that. And in fact, the key scripture that I want to center on today is Colossians 4:2. Look what it says. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind, and get this, a thankful heart. And a thankful heart, of course, is just what happens. It's demonstrated when we just regularly recognize God's blessings in our lives, and then we express that gratefulness to Him for those blessings. Certainly, it's right to have a thankful heart, right? It's scripturally right. We'll say, well, I'm going to have a thankful heart because God says so. That's right. But why does God say so? Guys, there's so many ways in which a grateful heart helps us. It reminds us, for example, of His love for us. Man, when we start thanking God, we remember how much He loves us. Also, it helps us to express faith. That when we thank God, what are we saying? God, just like You helped us in the past, we know that You're here for us in the present. So it helps us express faith. It keeps our heart soft. Guys, are you aware that your heart can dry up when difficult things happen, and pretty soon that heart is hard and bitter? And yet, when we express a thankful heart, we help our hearts, and God helps us to stay soft. Also, a thankful heart keeps us encouraged. Guys, all kinds of ways in which a thankful heart equals a better life. And that's the reason that it says right here in Colossians, come on, this is God's will for you, a thankful heart. Now, believe me, Colossians 4 is only the tip of the iceberg when it comes to scriptures on thankfulness. There are many, many verses, and I'm talking many, many chapters of the Bible on gratefulness. Now, we've all gone through this holiday, Thanksgiving holiday. Probably most of us sat around a table, and Pastor Shan just told you, he and his family, he said, what can we be thankful for over this past year? And the children, the adults around the table said what they were thankful for. But how about this? What does it mean to have not just a thankful day, but a thankful heart? What does it take in our lives to promote that kind of a heart. And as we answer those questions, that's when we'll prevent ourselves from being like Winnie the Pooh's Eeyore, that ever pessimistic, ever slow talking, ever glum, character that just stands around and life is bad. Because guys, remember the downward pull is always constant, right, in life, isn't it? Downward pull is always constant. There's always something that's not quite right. And so since that's true, the temptation will be to go that direction. And I don't know about you, but I can be griping before I even know it. I mean, are you that way? I mean, before you know it, you're griping about something. And you can jump ship on gratefulness very quickly in life. So it just takes a lot more energy to be grateful and to be thankful than it takes to be a griper. So today, let's go back on to some lessons, all right? Christians, here we are. We're on this weekend. Let's go over some lessons that'll remind us of stuff we already know. I'm sorry to say that that's what pastors usually do, by the way. We just remind people of stuff they already know. But it's amazing how easy it is to forget this stuff. And so today, because God has something for us here in a grateful heart, I want us to talk about it. First lesson is this: understand that God is the source of every blessing. And that is the key to understanding what it will mean to have a grateful heart. Every good and perfect gift, it says in James, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Are you aware that everything in your life and everything in my life is really a blessing from God? It's a gift from God. That is your family, your friends, your health, your free time, your salvation, the opportunities that you enjoy, literally the air that we all breathe. It's all from God. But somehow, we forget that. Joyce Hensley talks about her then 8-year-old little girl. Her name was Christina. And Christina was given a little assignment in school to talk about what you're grateful for. And so she wrote a little essay, and here is the essay verbatim. It is entitled, Two People I'm Thankful For. I'm thankful for God and Jesus. I'm thankful for God because He created us, and thankful for Jesus because He died for our sins. God and Jesus are always there for us. They're just like any other friend. If you're thankful for pets, you're thankful for God and Jesus because they made them. God and Jesus are pretty neat, all right. Are you thankful for anything? That was her essay. Now, this little 8-year-old girl has learned a lesson. She says, God is the source of every blessing. You've got a pet, she says? Well, thank God, because that pet was from God. She knows something that we forget, and that, of course, applies to everything in our lives. Guys, the reason that it's so important to get this one right, that God is the source, because it tells us where to direct our thanksgiving when a blessing touches our lives. Because so often, guys, it tells us who's responsible for those blessings. And so often, we want to take some of the major credit for them, right? We kind of in our mind, well, God, yeah, this was a good blessing. I got this job. But hey, listen, I sent the great resume. I did the wonderful interview, and I work hard. And yeah, I know it's from God, but basically, I deserved it. Guys, I think it's Dave Ramsey who's the guy who's the financial counselor, as you know. Dave Ramsey, somebody will ask him, how you doing? And he'll always say this, better than I deserve. And I think, wow, pretty smart. Because let's think about it. Is it true that you deserve every single thing that God has given in your life? Anybody here would raise your hand? Yeah, I deserve it, man. I guess nobody raised their hand. That's because, of course, we don't deserve it. And so, guys, of course, God gives a blessing sometimes in response to our faithfulness or our goodness, but we don't deserve everything that we have. No way. Every good gift is just that, a gift, and it's from God. Please don't get in the trap of thinking, by the way, when I talk about gifts, that it's all about money. It's so hard in our country today. We think of blessings primarily as financial blessings. I remember reading Phil Myers. He wrote about a teacher who asked her students to talk about the seven wonders of the world. The pyramids, Taj Mahal, all those things. So at the end of the assignment, this one little girl was writing, and she just kept writing. And the teacher says, "Well, what are you doing?" She says, "Well, I'm writing about the seven wonders, and it's so hard to decide." And she says, "Well, what do you have there?" And here's what the little girl wrote. I think the seven wonders of the world are: one, to see; two, to hear; three, to touch; four, to taste; five, to feel; six, to laugh; seven, to love. Pretty smart little girl, okay? Why? What is she saying, man? It had nothing to do with money or anything. In fact, Proverbs 15 says this: better a meal of vegetables, that is, better to be poor, where there is love, than a fatted calf with hatred, that is, to be rich but not be loved. Guys, if someone in the world loves you, that's better than just about anything. You know, that is a gift that is better than just about anything. And remember, it's all a blessing from God. Now, I read Psalm 103 a few minutes ago in the middle of the service as we prayed, and look at what you read in Psalm 103. It's all about what God has provided for you, and much of it is internal. He says, what is it? What has he done? What are his benefits? He's forgiven your sins. He's healed you. He's given you love. He's given you mercy. Many of the things that are the best things in our lives have nothing to do with money. But they're still great gifts from God. So Colossians 2:7, let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done. We know where to direct our thanks. You know, guys, for years, my habit, when I have a morning time with God, just to connect with God, I call it a quiet time. For years, I start that time by just thinking about yesterday and thinking of all the things that I can thank God for yesterday. And it's so cool how many times, like, oh, yeah, that person stopped by and encouraged me, or, man, you provided that resource that I needed right at that time, or, I mean, it's just so interesting that many, many times, just look at yesterday, and you can find the things that God has done to give you, that he's given you a gift. Guys, I do that because I want to develop a grateful heart, a thankful heart. I want to exercise the thankfulness muscle, right? And just like any muscle, man, it will atrophy on you if you don't use it. The only way to overflow with thanksgiving, the only way to have a thankful heart is, first of all, to understand that the health you enjoy, the love you experience, the food you eat, the opportunities that you see, the entertainment that you get to participate in, even the church here that God has provided for all of us to be a part of. Man, all of that is a gift from God. He's our source, and he's the one, of course, that we're encouraged to give thanks to. So, first lesson, man, come on. This is it. This is central. God is our source. He's the one who gives these gifts. We don't deserve all of them, and we certainly didn't produce them all in our lives. Lesson two, though, goes further, and lesson two is a harder one. Lesson two is this: Thanksgiving is a choice I make. Oh, man, this is tough. Some of you are saying right now, Art, if our lives are not overflowing with things to be thankful for, how can our hearts overflow with thanksgiving? Because there's nothing there, okay? Well, first of all, I want to admit, yeah, it is difficult. If you're going through a difficult time right now, a time of loss or pain, maybe a time without a job. So having said, you know, I don't want to be some pastor who says you suck it up and be happy. You know, I don't want to do that. So I don't want to be cavalier about your pain. But the guys, the scripture and common sense tell us this: thanksgiving is a choice. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So every Christian belongs to Christ Jesus, so God has a will for us, all of us believers. That is to be grateful in all circumstances. Now notice, this is God's will. So when we're commanded to do something in the Scripture, we're only commanded to do stuff that we can do, right? Now, we may need God's help to do it, but we can do it with God's help. So this is a command that says it's a choice. When the Holy Spirit wrote this passage, here's something that the Holy Spirit knew. He knew that often in life, life would alternate between tragedy and bliss. In other words, guys, it's seldom all bliss. It's seldom all tragedy, isn't it? It's many things. It's a mixture. It's up and down. The same week you get a raise, your car needs a new transmission, you know. The same week that your adult child says you're going to have another grandchild. That's the week the stock market plunges, okay? The same week that you feel God's hand on your life, your girlfriend tells you that it's over. It's not me, it's you. But you know it's you! So, guys, here's the secret. Are you ready? Here it is. Thankful people focus on what they have, not on what they don't have. And we Americans tend so much to focus on what we do not have, you know. Comedian Louis C.K., and that's a stage name, he was on Conan O'Brien. He's on this whole kick on, he has a whole routine on gratefulness. And what he says is, you know, he makes the point that it's almost, people recount their air flight experiences almost like a horror film. You know, I had to wait in line 30 minutes, and then we were on the tarmac for 40 minutes, almost as like it was the end of the world. And he and Lewis goes on to say, he says, listen, did you fly through the air incredibly like a bird? Did you partake in the miracle of human flight? Everybody on a plane should be going, unbelievable! I'm sitting in a chair in the sky! You know, but instead, what are we doing? Oh, this thing doesn't go back far enough. Well, I wish this chair would go back far enough. I mean, guys, it's so much easier to focus on what we don't have. And in fact, that's what 1 Thessalonians 5 really is talking about. It says, it's saying, no, thankfulness is always an option. I remember reading about a woman and her daughter. They always prayed at night together, like many mothers and daughters do, and daddies and daughters. And they were thinking about what to thank God for, and it was a really tough day. I mean, the husband and father was away on a trip. Everybody in the house had the flu, and you families know what that's like. It was a difficult day, and the little girl told her mother, Mommy, I can't think of anything to thank the Lord for. So they thought about it, and finally her mother said, let's thank the Lord that the day is over. And so they prayed, Lord, thank you that no matter what happened today, there is a new day coming, and you're going to give us rest, and you promise to be with us in whatever happens tomorrow. You know, a writer named Donna Patton described the time when her brother and sister-in-law were expecting a baby, and she talked to her little 4-year-old niece, and she asked her, do you want a baby girl or baby boy? And this 4-year-old niece said this, Aunt Donna, sometimes you just got to take what God gives you. And I'm thinking, guys, you can look at life and you can say, what has God given? And you can usually find something, right? You can. Thankful people focus on what they have, not on what they don't have. And it's so hard. Think of the Garden of Eden. Here they had everything. You know, Adam and Eve, they have everything except one little tree that they don't have access to. What do they focus on? The one little tree that they don't have. Well, I'm sure that's going to make us happy in some way that we're not happy now. So, guys, instead of focusing on what we cannot afford or what we cannot manage or we cannot have, be grateful for what God has given. We make a choice there. Now, by the way, I don't want anyone here to feel today as if I'm saying to you, come on, unless you feel happy all the time, you don't have faith in God. No, I'm not saying that. If the circumstances are difficult in your life right now, I understand. There's some sadness there. There's some difficulty. You may have experienced a loss. I understand that. But I want you to know it's at those times that it's very, very important for us to maintain this. You know, I can remember 2002 was a very difficult year for Nam and I. And the reason that it was a difficult year was that our 17-year-old son had lymphoma. And a tumor in his chest the size of his fist. We didn't find it until it was that big. And it was a difficult year because he had to have an operation. He had to have chemotherapy. He had to have radiation. Just so many things had to happen in his life. And we were there with him. And in that year, guess what else happened? We opened this building. Okay? That's the year. And that put, how can I say it? It put new challenges in my life, okay, when that happened. So guys, but in that year, I want you to know something. In that year, Nim and I often went to prayer, and we often chose to rehearse what we had to be thankful for. We expressed our thanks to God many times. We were grateful for Dr. Sinicol, John's cancer doc, who was so great with him during that year. We were grateful for numerous ways that God helped John's treatment to go well, and it made it efficacious. And I was so grateful to the church, who were so many believers who were there behind us, helping us and supporting us in prayer and in many practical ways during that year. And often, guys, remember how I told you that a thankful heart equals a better life? And I said one of the things it does is it helps you to maintain faith. It helps your heart to be soft. It encourages you. Guess what happened many times when Em and I went to God with thankfulness? Our hearts felt less overwhelmed. That's what happened. We were less overwhelmed because we were focusing our gratefulness to God. Now, some of you don't know this story, so I'll just have a little PS here. Today, John is 27. He's married. He's an electrical engineer in Seattle. He's doing great. He loves the Lord, and he's healthy, okay? But at the time, we didn't know if he was going to live. And so it was a difficult time. You know what? One of the scriptures that really illustrates all of this, it's Lamentations 3. Remember, Lamentations, bad things are happening. And the author, who probably is Jeremiah, look what he says in verse 16. He has broken my teeth with gravel. Well, that's bad, isn't it? That's bad. In other words, this is metaphoric, and it's just saying things are tough, okay? He's trampled me in the dust. I've been deprived of peace. I've forgotten what prosperity is. Some of you could say that. I've forgotten what prosperity is. I can't remember. And so I say, my splendor is gone and all that I have hoped for from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wanderings and the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is down. Okay, now, this is someone brought low. Here it is. Someone is crushed. They're experiencing terrible difficulties. And as they rehearse those difficulties, what happens? My soul is downcast. But then, fortunately, that's one direction you can go when bad things are happening. But look at verse 21, and you see that the author turned right around. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are never consumed. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. Guys, this is an expression of thanksgiving. Because of the Lord's great love, I'm not totally consumed. How's that for a grateful heart? Everything is falling apart. I'm not consumed, though. I'm still alive. I'm grateful for that. Isn't that interesting? And what happens when he says that? Man, I have hope when I do that. That's the benefit of a grateful heart, a thankful heart. It's a better life. It means that I have hope because I go to God often in thanksgiving. A thankful heart gives me a whole different outlook on life. We begin to look at things in a different way. We have a different perspective. And guys, a thankful heart equals a better life. You remember when Paul was in prison in Rome, and he wrote a letter to the Philippians, and I've often wondered what it would have been like. Now remember, Paul wrote half of the New Testament. What if he had been in jail, and he wrote the Philippians and said, thank you, Philippians. This is so great that you're there for me. But Philippians, where is God? Why am I in prison? It's so unfair. I mean, I'm probably going to die here. It stinks. The food is unbelievable. I just don't know why God left me here. Guys, instead, here's what he writes in Romans, into Philippians. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, everything that has happened to me has helped spread the good news. Everyone here, including all the soldiers in the palace guard, They know that I'm in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, many of the Christians here have gained confidence, and they've become more bold in telling others about Jesus. Hey, Paul writes, this is working out so well for me to be in prison. It is so beautiful. I mean, people are getting saved, and the Christians are getting bold, and it's so great. Guys, Paul was choosing a thankful heart. He was choosing it. He was learning it. He was displaying it. You know, he made it happen. You know, guys, years ago I read an observation from a freelance writer who knew Martin Luther King Sr. Didn't know him, but this person had met them a couple of times. And this writer writes about Martin Luther King Sr. Here's what she says. Many years ago, I went to hear Dr. Martin Luther King Sr. King said his mother had told him to always thank God for what was left. And man, that was something to think about. If you've got enough breath left to complain, you have something left. And I thought that was very impressive, and I really made a mental note of it. Some years later, I went back to Atlanta to Ebenezer Church, and by this time, Dr. King had lost two sons. His beloved wife had been shot to death right before his eyes at the organ in that sanctuary. Guess what the old man was still saying? Thank God for what's left. There's always enough left in life to make it worth living. Guys, I wonder, the writer of Lamentations, I wonder if he wasn't thanking God for what was left. Oh, I'm not consumed. He was thanking God for what was left. I wonder if the Apostle Paul was thanking God for what was left. Guys, thanking God for what we have left, man. We're saying, I trust you, God, for what's ahead in my life. And again, we have hope. We have faith. Our hearts stayed soft. We're encouraged. We're strengthened. A thankful heart equals a better life. Every single time. And the first lesson, God's our source. Second lesson, man, make sure you know it's a choice you make. And number three, guys, third lesson, you want to develop a thankful heart? Regularly express thanks to God and to others. Now, I know this is pretty obvious, but if you want to develop a thankful heart, you're going to have to actually look for things to be thankful for, but then, yes, actually verbalize those things both to God and to others. Why? Because it exercises the thankful muscle, right? It exercises something that's so important for you to do. Let's be honest. Sometimes we only thank God for the big stuff, right? I mean, God has to practically, drop, thousands of dollars in your lap. And you go, well, God, you finally did something. That's so, I'm thankful. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. Guys, we get so that we're jaded almost with all the good stuff God has. He has to really, give us something big. I remember an illustration that helped me here. If you had a bowl of sand and you put small particles of iron in that sand, well then, if you put your hand in it, you wouldn't really be able to grab a hold of the particles. It'd be too small. However, if you took a magnet over that sand, the particles would come up and attach to that magnet. And the point is that an unthankful heart is like sweeping your fingers through the sand. You just never discover anything to be thankful for. Instead, the truth is that if you let the thankful heart sweep through the day just like that magnet, man, you'll be able to find things that God has done for you. The scriptures, man, are filled with passage after passage with giving actual expressions of gratefulness and thankfulness. Look at Psalm 7. Quite specific. I give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. 118, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Now, these two things are just, God, I'm just thanking you for your character. I'm thanking you for who you are. Psalm 118, 21, I give thanks for you have answered me. He's saying, boy, God, you answer prayer. I'm so grateful for that. You see a specific also in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul is writing to these Corinthians who've helped the church, the members of God's body with offerings to help them in a very difficult time. Look what he says. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Guys, so what's happening? They got help, and what was happening? They were immediately taking those thanks to God. They were verbalizing those thanks and giving those thanks to God. Guys, I want to challenge you this month. This is the first week of Advent. That means, you know, guys, it's not going to be long until we're going to be hitting Christmas. And I want to encourage you to do something. I want to challenge you in this month leading up to Christmas to thank God out loud, if you can, and if you can't, and just between you and God, as often as you can, as you become aware of God's mercy, God's grace, God's beauty, God's blessing, whatever it is. You just exercise that thankfulness muscle as much as possible. And guess what? I'm going to predict that Christmas is going to be a little better this year if you and I will do that. Right along, by the way, expressing thanks to God, be on the lookout for all the ways that God uses people to bless your life. And yes, thank God for those people. But also, would you go and thank the people? Why? Well, it's going to help them, but it's going to help you. Because you'll be then exercising that thing in you that God says, I want you to be grateful. You know, the example of thanking people is all the way through the Scripture, but look at Philemon 4. Here's Paul saying, I always thank God for you when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing of your trust in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. So, you know, Paul's being very specific, and he's saying, Philemon, I'm thanking God for you, but because he writes it, he's also thanking Philemon, isn't he? And he's saying, wow, you are faithful. You love God's people. I so admire that, Philemon. Guys, he also does that in Romans. Look what he says in Romans. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of Christ Jesus. In fact, they once risked their lives for me. I'm thankful for them. And by saying he's thankful for them, he's thanking them, you know, in this letter. Can you imagine Aquila and Priscilla going, wow, Paul. Man, Paul just said he's thankful for us. Now, that would be good for Aquila and Priscilla, but think how it is for Paul. It's even better for Paul. He's writing, man, I'm so grateful. He's expressing it. And because he is, his life is different. It's better than it would have been. Okay? He's exercising that gratefulness muscle. You and I need to look around, become aware of what others are doing, and express that. Not just to bless them, although that's good to bless them, but for your benefit as well. You and I need to express our thanks in writing or out loud in some way. You know, I can remember just a few months ago, I wrote a letter to my son, John. And I just said, John, I just want you to know, I think you've become a great young man. And I just listed all the things that I saw in his life that I thought were so wonderful. And I said, I'm so thankful to God for you. Now, my son, John, said, well, thanks, Dad, that was great. But that was good. He enjoyed it. But what did it do for me? It did something in my heart. You see, if I'm grateful for the people in my life, I get a better life because of it. It's affecting me. It's changing me. It's changing my perspective. I remember reading years ago about a pastor back in the Depression. He was talking in a cafe with a bunch of guys, and another guy was a pastor. And the pastor's guy, guy's name was William Steiger. And Steiger was listening to all these guys complain. It was the Depression. They're saying, oh man, there's suicides, 35% unemployment. Life is unbelievably bad. And one of the other guys was a pastor, and he said, man, in 2 weeks it's going to be Thanksgiving. I'm going to have to preach a sermon on thankfulness, and I don't know what to say. And so as they were thinking about it, Steiger, it's like the Spirit of God spoke to me, and he said, why don't you give thanks for the people who've been a blessing in your life and affirm them during this terrible time? And so he began to write letters, and one of the letters he wrote was to an old school teacher, a literature teacher, who taught him literature and poetry, and his love for literature and poetry went throughout his entire life. It affected even his preaching. And so he wrote her a letter, and he got a letter back from her in just a few days. And in this kind of scrawl, he read this, "My dear Willie." And Steiger says at the time he was 50 years old and bald, and nobody called him Willie in a long time. So that even encouraged him. And here's the letter. Dear Willie, I can't tell you how much your note meant to me. I'm in my 80s, living alone in a small room, cooking my own meals, lonely, and like the last leaf of autumn lingering behind. Now listen to this sentence, will you? You'll be interested to know that I taught in school for more than 50 years, and yours is the first note of appreciation I've received. It came on a blue, cold morning, and it cheered me as nothing has done in many years. Now, guys, think about it. Now, one of the things I want to share there is, of course, we forget to express thanks, right? So I also want you to see what it did in this lady's heart, but then think about Steiger's heart. That's what I'm really talking about. He wrote it. His perspective then changed a little bit. He had to think about what God was doing in his life and had done in his life. Expressing our gratefulness and thankfulness out loud or in writing or in whatever way, man, it changes us. Sometimes we say of family members and friends, well, hey, they're just not doing something that I'm grateful for. Come on, Art. I mean, they don't deserve my thanks. Well, guys, I just want to say this. For some people, you practically have to invent penicillin to be thanked, okay? It's just that big. It's like, come on, teenagers here. Would you thank your parents for helping you? Children, would you thank your parents for providing for you? Spouses, come on. Tell your spouse how they bless your life and what you admire in them. Workers, blow the socks off of one of your colleagues tomorrow by actually coming in. You know, I just want you to know, I've noticed this thing in your life, it is so great. I'm thankful for that in you. You know, the guy will just probably faint maybe if that's, you know. Parents, any of you who have parents in our children's program, when you pick your kids up today in the third and fourth grade class, would you thank the teacher there who's loving your kids and teaching them? Would you do something like that to say, hey, I appreciate what you're doing? What are we afraid of? If we thank someone that they will slack off? I mean, oh no, we can't thank them, you know, they might stop, you know. Never thank your children for taking out the trash, but they should be taking out the trash, man. But no, come on. Come on, you know, I want you to know that when we get thanked, we often feel more motivation to do that. But again, I'm not talking about the effect on the person. I'm talking about the effect on you. On you and you and me. Because when we're able to do that, somehow our perspective changes. And remember, we express faith. Our heart stays soft. We have hope. You know, something is better. And so that's just one of the best things we can do to develop that. When you look at things to be grateful for and you begin to express them, there's that gratefulness muscle having a go and things are better. So some of you are going, well, Art, what about hard times? How can we do this? Things aren't going that well. You know, I have a job, but I hate it. Or I don't, it's another person saying, I don't even have a job and I'm looking. Well, guys, I remember reading about an elementary school age boy who had to wear glasses back in a time when there were no such thing as designer glasses. And for an elementary school age boy who has to wear thick black glasses, that's traumatic. Would you agree? That's traumatic. Can be traumatic. And his parents were trying to help him to be thankful. And finally, he said, okay, he thought about it and he prayed about it. And finally, he said this to his parents. I'm thankful for my glasses because they keep the boys from hitting me and the girls from kissing me. Okay? Hey, guys, now, of course, many of you are way beyond just having to wear glasses. You know, the situation you're in is very, very difficult. You have a problem. You have a loss. You have a difficulty. You have a thing, a long slog ahead you're going to have to be working through, okay? But, guys, can I just say this? A thankful heart is tested by difficult problems or loss. We need a thankful heart even more during those times when maybe the marriage is very difficult, and so we're having to look for things to be grateful for and thankful for in that other person. We need that more at that time, or a time when we've had a loss or a job. It's there that we really can come through and change in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says it's give thanks in all circumstances, and that includes difficult ones. As I told you about John's cancer, our hearts were changed as we and our faith was upheld, and our encouragement would continued as we often went to God in gratefulness. You guys, a thankful heart takes work. Yeah, of course. It's a muscle that needs to be made strong, but that's God's will for us. God wants you and I to have a thankful heart. It's something we develop over time, something that isn't easy, something that we develop through hard times and through good times. The lessons we've been talking about are so important. We understand first that every good gift is from God. We have it. We had something to do with it, but we don't really deserve it. It's a gift. And God is the one who's responsible for it. And we affirm also that, man, Thanksgiving is a choice. I can choose to look for those things. I can choose to look for what's left. I can do it. And since that's true, then we look for opportunities to express thanks to God and to others. Guys, this brings us right back to Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Friends, let's say it again. A thankful heart equals a better life. That's true for all of us. It equals a better life.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.